بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يسرني في هذه الليلة، هو الموافق ليوم السبت 18 من ربيع الأول لعام 1438، أن ألتقي مع إخوة كرام في أمريكا وغيرها بطلب من أخي فضيلة الشيخ زاهد وفقه الله، فسأتحدث إن شاء الله عن السحر.
The Sheikh, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, he said that it brings me great pleasure this night, because it's night where he's at, to meet with you esteemed brothers in America and other than it. And this is from the request, or due to the request of the brother, our brother, Zahid. And he says, today I will be speaking about the issue of a sihr, magic. تفضل يا شيخ.
وسأتحدث في النقاط التالية. النقطة الأولى تعريف السحر. النقطة الثانية أدلة تحريم السحر. النقطة الثالثة حكم إتيان الساحر أو حكم الذهاب إلى الساحر للتداوي عنده. والنقطة الرابعة علاج السحر بالرقى الشرعية. تفضل.
Right, so the Sheikh says that we're going to discuss this issue in two points. The first being the definition of sihr. What does sihr mean? And then the second point being the proofs which show its impermissibility, and also the ruling regarding those people who practice magic being the third point, and the fourth point being how to get rid of magic. For the answer.
فأقول أولا تعريف السحر. السحر في اللغة يرد بعدة معاني يجمعها معنى واحد، وهو صرف الشيء حقيقته. نعم.
Right, so he says that as for the definition of sihr, of magic, he said that it has, linguistically, it has many meanings, linguistically. But this can all be summed up in the meaning of covering or showing something that is not in its really reality, or is not upon what it's supposed to be.
السحر عرف بتعاريف عديدة، لكن أجمعها أن يقال أو معرفه به ابن قدامة، قال السحر عزائم ورقى وعقد تؤثر في القلوب والأبدان فيمرض ويقتل ويفرق بين المرء وزوجه. نعم. تفضل.
Right, the Sheikh says that as far as the meaning or the definition of sihr, when it comes to a terminology that is used in Islam, he said that there has been a lot of definitions, but the most comprehensive of these definitions is that which has been given by al-Imam Ibn Qudama, where he says that it is a series of tools and sayings or words that are uttered that affect the heart and the body. Tafadhal.
ثم بعد ذلك ننتقل إلى الأدلة السحر. يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه عن الملكين الذين أنزلهم الله اختبارا وابتلاء للناس، قال: وما يعلمان من أحد حتى يقولا إنما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر. فبين الله أن تعلم السحر كفر، وما كان تعلمه كفر فلا شك في تحريمه. نعم تفضل.
So now we move on to the second point, which is the proof. Yes, no, أنا أتكلم يا شيخ أنا أترجم له. So the second point is about the proof which shows its impermissibility. And we get that from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the two angels that were sent to test the people, in which Allah, he says in the ayah, and they did not teach anyone until they say, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةً فَلَا تَكْفُرْ, that we were sent only as a fitna for you, so do not disbelieve. So here, Allah Jalla Jalalu, he has clarified and showed that learning sihr, learning magic, is disbelief. And likewise, if learning is disbelief, then so is practicing it. تفضل يا شيخ.
الدليل الثاني على تحريم السحر قوله جل وعلا في نفس الآية من سورة البقرة وهي الآية 102، قال جل وعلا: ومن الأدلة الدالة على تحريم السحر قول الله جل وعلا في سورة طه: إنما صنعوا كيد ساحر ولا يفلح الساحر حيث أتى. وقوله في سورة يونس: ولا يفلح الساحرون. فنفي الفلاح عن الساحر دليل على أنه أمر محرم لا يجوز، لأنه لا ينفى الفلاح بالكلية إلا عن عمل خبيث محرم.
Okay, so there was an ayah in which the Sheikh Mustafa said he was going to use another ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah as a proof, the second proof to show the impermissibility of sihr. But I wasn't able to get that. But the ayah is ayah 102 in Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah, he says, وَاتَّبْعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانُ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. And it's the ayah in which Allah says, and they follow that which the shayateen had recited or had gave to Sulaiman, falsely against the power of Sulaiman. And it was not Sulaiman who became blasphemous and disbelieved, but it was the shayateen who disbelieved. يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. They taught the people a sihr. Okay, so this shows that by teaching the people sihr, that was from that aspect is how they disbelieved. The Sheikh then mentioned another ayah where it says that the sahir, the magician, will never be successful. They will never, no matter where they are, they'll never be successful. And the fact that Allah has taken away from them or negated from them success shows that this is an issue that is very severe. Tafadhal.
Na'am.
ومن أدلة تحريم السحر قول الله قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الصحيحين اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات. ومعنى الموبقات يعني المهلكات التي توبق صاحبها في النار. قالوا وما هن يا رسول الله؟ قال الشرك بالله والسحر. ثم ذكر بقية الحديث. ومحل الشاهد أن السحر من الذنوب الموبقة التي توبق في النار. نعم.
And from another proof that shows impermissibility of a sihr is the hadith which is in Sahihain, which is in the book or recorded by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, avoid the seven mubiqat, the seven destructive sins. So they asked the companions, they asked, what are they, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So from those seven which he listed, the first being ash-shirku billah, associating partners with Allah jalla jalalu, and the second being a-sihr, magic. And the fact that he had mentioned that this is from the destructive things that will cause a person, an individual, to enter the fire, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. Tafadhal ya Sheikh.
ومن أدلة تحريم السحر ما رواه الإمام مسلم عن بعض أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أتى عرافا وسأله عن شيء لم تقبل له صلاة 40 ليلة لم تقبل له صلاة 40 ليلة. هذا يدل على تحريمه الذهاب إلى الساحر فقط من أجل سؤاله يذهب لأجل 40 ليلة. نعم.
Another proof which shows the impermissibility of practicing magic is that which was recorded by Imam Muslim in his Sahih on some of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, whoever goes to a araf, meaning a fortune teller, to ask a question, his prayer will not be accepted for 40 nights or 40 days. This shows that even just the fact that someone goes to the fortune teller, whether they believe or not believe, is something that is a grievous act, and it will result in someone's prayer not being accepted for 40 days. Tafadhal ya Sheikh.
ومن أدلة تحريم السحر ما رواه الإمام أحمد الحاكم بسند صحيح قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من أتى كاهنا أو عرافا فصدقه بما يقول فقد كفر بما أنزل على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فعمل يؤدي لصاحبه إذا صدق الكاهن والكاهن والعراف جزء من السحر، السحر أكثر من ذلك. فإذا صدقه كفر بما أنزل على محمد، والذي أنزل على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم هو القرآن. هذا يدل على شدة تحريم السحر. نعم.
Another proof which shows the impermissibility of magic is a hadith that's chain of narrators are deemed to be authentic. It's recorded by both Imam Ahmed and Hakim, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever goes to a kahin, a soothsayer, or a fortune teller, and he believes that which they say, then he has this person has disbelieved in that which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has came with. So this is the punishment, or this is the result of the person who has believed in the fortune teller, and it shows that there is no unity, or these things cannot go together. And as for fortune telling and soothsayers, these things are a part of magic. And magic is more general than that. Tafadhal, ya Sheikh.
ومن الأدلة وبه نختم ما رواه البزار بسند جيد عن عمران بن حسين رضي الله عنهما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس منا من تطير أو تطير له أو تكهن أو تكهن له أو سحر أو سحر له. في هذا الحديث أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتبرع ممن تطير أو تطير له، والتطير التشاؤم، تشاؤم بمرئي أو مسموع أو معلوم، أو تطير له طلب من غيره أن يتشاؤم له وينظر له ماذا سيحصل له مثلا بهذا السفر، أو تكهن أو تكهن له. الكهانة هي سحر حلم الغيب، هو السحر سحر طرف منه، فلا أن يعرف له معنى ماذا سيحصل له في المستقبل، أو سحر أو سحر له، أو سحر غيره، أو طلب من غيره يسحر له أحدا. فالنبي تبرع منهم، هذا يدل على شدة تحريم السحر، نعوذ بالله منه. نعم.
So the Sheikh then brings a hadith that has been narrated on the authority of Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the person, or this individual, is not from us. The person who does tatayyur and the person who does takahun, or has that done for him, and the person who does sihr, or has that done for him. And as far as the meaning of tatayyur, then it is looking in the visions or omens. So what the Arabs of the past in the time of Jahiliyyah used to do is that they would, before making or deciding to go to travel, they would look and see which way the bird flies. If it flies left, for example, they would travel, and it would mean that it was a good time to travel. If it flew right, it would mean that it's not, or the opposite. And also, a person who has someone does this for them, like, for example, tells them to go out and look and see what happens, what the birds do, and things like that. And it's also this also person, Allah's messenger, has freed himself from them. Likewise, the person who is a soothsayer and does the work of a soothsayer, or goes to a soothsayer to have him do what he does. And this act of soothsaying is claiming to have knowledge of the unseen. And another thing which Allah's messenger spoke about being free from is the person who does magic or has magic done for him. So the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam freed himself from all of these people shows the severity of those actions. The Fadhil, ya Sheikh.
النقطة الثالثة حكم إتيان الساحر، حكم الذهاب إلى الساحر لأجل حل السحر عن المسحور. أقول تقدم أو تبين من الأدلة الماضية قريبا التي تدل على تحريم السحر حكم ذلك، وأنه لا يجوز للمسلم أن يذهب إلى السحرة والمشعوذين في حال من الأحوال. ومن الأدلة التي سبقت وهي صريحة ما رواه مسلم عن بعض أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من أتى عراف فسأله لم تقبل له صلاة 40 ليلة. هذا وعيد شديد، من أتى إلى الساحر ليسأله أو الكاهن لا تقبل له صلاة 40 ليلة، يعني 100 صلاة. ويدل على شدة تحريم الذهاب إلى الساحر، لا يجوز أن يذهب إلى الساحر أبدا. نعم.
And now we go to the point regarding to clarifying the issue of or the ruling regarding the person who goes to a sorcerer or a magician to get rid of some hex or magic that has been placed upon an individual. And the Sheikh says that from the proofs which had preceded, it clarifies the ruling in this regards, and that it is not permissible, no matter what the situation may be, for a person to go to these individuals to get rid of some hex or any type of magic that has been placed upon them. And from the proofs that shows this is that hadith which was mentioned, that was recorded by Imam Muslim on some of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the individual who goes to a soothsayer and or a fortune teller, and that this person who goes to him, that his prayer will not be accepted for 40 nights. And this right here is a severe threat of punishment that shows the impermissibility of going to a soothsayer or fortune teller or these magicians to try and free oneself from the effects of magic. The public answer.
ومن الأدلة على تحريم الذهاب إلى الكاهن الحديث الذي رواه أحمد الحاكم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من أتى كاهن أو عرافا فصدقه بما يقول فقد كفر بما أنزل على محمد. فإذا كان الذهاب إلى الكاهن الساحر وسؤاله يفضي بالإنسان أو يجعله يكفر بالقرآن، هذا دليل على شدة تحريم الذهاب إلى الساحر. لا تذهب إلى الساحر لأن تكفر بالقرآن يا عبد الله، لتبقى على إسلامك. نعم.
So, نعم. So from the proofs which further reiterate what the Sheikh has said, and he has preceded as well, was the hadith that was recorded by Imam Ahmed and Hakim about the person who goes to the soothsayer and the fortune teller and believes them in that which they say, and that this person has disbelieved in that which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has came with. And what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has came with was the Quran. So this person has disbelieved in the Quran and what it has entailed. And this is the issue of the person who goes to them and asks them that this thing will make him be a person who has disbelieved in the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. The Fadli Ya Sheikh.
ومما يدل على تحريم الذهاب إلى الساحر ما رواه الإمام مسلم عن معاوية بن الحكم رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله إني حبيب عهد بالجاهلية وقد جاء الله بالإسلام وإن منا رجالا يأتون الكهان. قال فلا تأتهم, وهذا نهي صريح عن إتيانهم. وكيف يقول أحد بجوازه؟ نعم
نعم. And from the proofs to further reiterate the impermissibility of using or going to soothsayers and fortune tellers is that which Imam Muslim has recorded on the authority of Muawiyah ibn Hakim رضي الله عنه, who said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah has blessed us with Islam. Allah has blessed us with Islam. But from amongst us are people who go to the soothsayers, who go to the fortune tellers. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in response to this, do not go to them. So this right here is frank. It's a clear thing from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing his prohibition of going to the soothsayers and fortune tellers. Tafadhal ya Sheikh.
ومن الأدلة على تحريم الذهاب إلى الكهان ما رواه الإمام أحمد وأبو داود عن جابر رضي الله عنه بسند صحيح أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل عن النشرة, قال هي من عمل الشيطان. والنشرة هي حل السحر عن المسحور بسحر مثله, وهي التي من عمل الشيطان. فلا يجوز أن يذهب إلى ساحر يعمل له هذه النشرة التي هي من عمل الشيطان, بل المسلم يحرص على أن يعمل العمل الذي هو من عمل أهل الإيمان الذي فيه طاعة الله ورسوله, طاعة الله ورسوله, وليس فيه طاعة الشيطان وأولياء الشيطان. نعم
نعم. The Sheikh then goes on to say that from the proof that show the impermissibility of practicing magic is a hadith that has been recorded by Imam Ahmed and Abu Dawood on the authority of Jabir radiallahu anhu, and it's Senate is authentic. And it said that the Prophet ﷺ, he was asked about Nusra. And when he was asked about it, he said that it is impermissible. And Nusra, it is trying to get rid of magic by using magic. Like someone who has magic being performed on them, or they have a hex on them. And they want to get rid of that, so they use magic to do so. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prohibited it, and he said that it is from the deeds and the actions of the shaytan. So it is upon a Muslim to not do those deeds and actions that are from the actions of the shaytan. Rather, he should do the deeds and actions from the actions of the people of Iman, because this is what he wants to be. تفضل يا شيخ.
النقطة الرابعة وهي كيفية علاج السحر, كيف يعالج الإنسان نفسه إذا أصيب بالسحر, لأن الشارع أمر بتداوي. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تداووا عباد الله ولا تداووا بحرام, وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أنزل الله داء إلا أنزل له دواء, علمه من علمه وجهله من جهله. فنحن نقول على المسلم أن يتداوى نحن نمنعه فقط من الذهاب إلى الساحر أو الكاهن، لأن هذا أمر محرم، هذا أمر خطر على الدين وعلى العقيدة، لكن نأمره بأن يتداوى العلاج الشرعي المباح بما أباح الله.
So the next, the fourth point here that the Sheikh is going to talk about is how do we medicate ourselves when we have been afflicted by magic or sorcery. And that is because the Sharia, that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to seek medication from him by using that which is halal and not using that which is haram. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah has not made a cure in something which is haram. Allah has not made a cure in something which is haram. And he has, at the same time, he has commanded us to seek cures from him. And that is by doing those things which are mubah, those things which are permissible, and those things which are encouraged. So probably here, sir.
وقد ذكر العلماء علاج السحر ومما ذكره واحد ابن منبه وليث بن ابي سليم، وخلاصته ان المسحور ياتي بسبع ورقات من سدر اخضر فيدقها في حجر او نحوه، ثم يجعلها في إناء أو في قدر ويصب عليه ماء يكفي للغسل، يكفي أن يغتسل به ويغسل جميع بدنه، ثم يقرأ آية الكرسي: الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، وهي الآية 255 من سورة البقرة. نعم.
Okay, so some of these scholars, they have mentioned how someone who has been afflicted by magic, what they should do to get rid of that magic. What is the treatment for the person who has been afflicted by magic? And it can be summed up by saying that the person who's afflicted by magic, he should, in short, take a bath with enough water that will be, you know, having enough water that will be sufficient for him to take a bath that will cover his whole body. And after he does this, after he has taken his bath and fully washed himself, that he should recite upon himself Ayatul Kursi, which is the ayat that is in Surah Al-Baqarah.
ويقرأ سورة الإخلاص قل يا أيها الكافرون، يقرأ سورة قل يا أيها الكافرون، ثم يقرأ قل هو الله أحد، ثم يقرأ قل أعوذ برب الفلق، ثم يقرأ قل أعوذ برب الناس، ثم يقرأ آيات السحر. نعم تفضل.
يقرأ آيات السحر يا شيخ؟
سأكمله، سأتكلم به لاحقا.
طيب طيب،
اذكر له المعوذات.
طيب. The Sheikh says that after he recites Ayatul Kursi, then he recites the Quds. You know, like Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, Surah Al-Ikhlas, and he recites after that the Surah Al-Nas, and also Surah Al-Falaq. So Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbi Al-Falaq, and Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbi Al-Nas. And also he recites the ayah of As-Sihr. تفضل يا شيخ.
ثم يقرأ آيات السحر أو الآيات التي وردت في السحر في سورة الأعراف من الآية 117 إلى الآية 119 وهي قوله تعالى وأوحينا إلى موسى أن ألقي عصاك فإذا هي تلقف ما يأفكون ووقع الحق وبطل ما كانوا يعملون فغلبوا هنالك وانقلبوا
Now, so the Sheikh now is going to explain what the verse of a sihr that he mentions that should be recited is. And he said that this is the verse that can be found in Surah Al-A'raf in ayat number 116 and 117, in which Allah speaks about the actions of the magicians when they were competing against Musa. So he said, فَأَلْقَوْ فَلَمَّا أَلْقَوْ سَحَرُوا أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ فَاسْتَرْحَبُوهُمْ وَجَاءَ بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى أَنْ أَلْقِي عَصَاكَ إِذَا هِيَ تَلْقَفُ مَا يَأْفِكُونَ فوقع الحق وبطل ما كانوا يعملون فغلبوا هنالك وانقلبوا صاغرين وألقي السحرة ساجدين. So in these ayats, Allah depicts what happened between the magicians and Moses, saying that Allah had revealed to Moses or inspired to him that he should throw down his rod, which transformed into swallowed that the falsehood which they had produced. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and in this way the truth was confirmed and all that they did was made of no effect. It did not bring any harm. So the great ones were vanquished there and were made to look small, but the sorcerers fell down prostrate in adoration. نعم يا شيخ تفضل.
ويقرأ الآية من سورة يونس من الآية 79 إلى الآية 82 من سورة يونس وهي قوله تعالى وقال فرعون ائتوني بكل ساحر عليم فلما جاء السحرة قال لهم موسى ألقوا ما أنتم ملقون فلما ألقوا قال موسى ما جئتم به السحر إن الله سيبطله إن الله لا يصلح عمل المفسدين ويحق الحق بكلماته ولو كره المجرمون تفضل.
Naam, so the Sheikh then mentions another ayah that is good to recite, which is some ayahs that can be found in Surah Yunus from the 79th ayah in Surah Yunus till the on 4th Yunus, Naam, in which Allah سبحانه وتعالى هذا فلما جاء السحرة قال لهم موسى ألقوا ما أنتم ملقون. Yunus, he says, I mean, Allah, he says that when the sorcerers came, Moses said to them, throw what it is that you're going to throw. فلما ألقوا قال موسى ما جئتم به السحر. And when they threw what they were going to throw, Moses or Musa, he said to them, what you have brought is nothing but sorcery. Inna Allah sayubtilu. And verily Allah will make it to no effect. Inna Allah la yuslihu amal al-mufsidin. Allah does not make correct those people who cause mischief. And to the rest of the ayats preceding. Afadhi ya Shaykh.
ويقرأ الآيات في سورة طه من الآية 65 إلى الآية 69 وهي قوله جل وعلا قالوا يا موسى إما أن تلقي وإما أن نكون أول من ألقى قال بل ألقوا فإذا حبالهم وعصيهم يخيل إليه من سحرهم أنها تسعى فأوجس في نفسه خيفة موسى قلنا لا تخف إنك أنت الأعلى وألق ما في يمينك تلقف ما صنعوا إنما صنعوا كيد ساحر ولا يفلح الساحر حيث أتى تفضل.
نعم. Another ayah which is good to recite is the 65th verse and forward from Surah Taha. And in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has narrated the interaction between Musa and the magicians, in which they said to Musa, O Musa, either you should throw or we should throw. So Musa, alayhi salam, he responded by saying, rather you should throw. And then their ropes and their sticks were perceived as if they were moving due to their sorcery. So Moses, he conceived in his mind a sort of fear. And Allah responded by telling him, do not be afraid, because you have the upper hand. And then Allah told Musa to throw that which you have in your right hand. And it will do away with or swallow up that which they have manufactured. And that what they have done is only, well, what they have made is only the trick or the deception of those people who are magicians or sorcerers. And then this is where Allah said that saying, which is a proof that shows that those who practice sorcery are disbelievers, in which he says, وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. And the magicians will never be successful no matter where they are. Father Yashir.
وبعد قراءة ما ذكر من الآيات في الماء ينفث في الماء, يعني سواء بعد ما يقرأ آية الكرسي ينفث, ثم بعد كل يا أيها الكافرون ينفث, ثم بعد المعوذات ينفث, ثم بعد كل آية كل آيات ينفث, أو يجعل النفس بعدها الأمر فيه سعة, ينفث في الماء ثم يشرب منهم مرة أو مرتين أو ثلاثا, ثم يرتسل ببقية الماء فيشفى بإذن الله عز وجل, وإن لم يشفى في المرة الأولى يعيد المرة الثانية والثالثة إلى أن يشفى بإذن الله عز وجل. نعم, تفضل.
None. So the Sheikh, he says that after reciting those verses which has preceded, that the person should blow on themselves. And they can do this after reciting every ayah, or at the end of reciting all of the ayah. He said in this issue there's room. There's room for you to kind of do whatever or do it whichever way you want. Because after doing that, the person will use the remaining water that they have used to take a bath, use the remaining water to wash themselves. And then by the permission of Allah, that after doing that, they will be free from illness. And if this does not happen, if there is still a residual effect from the sorcery or from being hexed, then the person can repeat the process until there's no need. تفضل يا شيخ.
هذا نوع من أنواع علاج السحر ذكره بعض أهل العلم، وأيضا مما يستشفى به من السحر قراءة سورة البقرة كاملة بنية الأجر ونية الشفاء، نية الاستشفاء. يقرأ سورة البقرة كاملة بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: سورة البقرة أخذها بركة وتركها حسرة ولا يستطيعها البطلة. نعم تفضل.
أعد علي الحديث يا شيخ.
نعم
أعد علي الحديث بارك الله فيك.
الحديث ما رواه الإمام مسلم في صحيحه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: سورة البقرة أخذها بركة وتركها حسرة ولا يستطيعها البطلة، والبطلة هم السحرة.
Okay. Okay, so the Sheikh has said that some of the ways, or there are other ways that the scholars have mentioned that will help to medicate the person who has been afflicted by sorcery. And some of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that reciting Surah Al-Baqarah in its entirety is a way of freeing oneself from being afflicted by sorcery. And to further reiterate that and strengthen that position is the hadith that is recorded by Imam Muslim, in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi, he says that in Surah Al-Baqarah, read Surah Al-Baqarah, because the last of it is barakah, is a blessing, and leaving it off is a loss, and there's no way al-batala can, I guess, affect it. And here, al-batala is explained as being magic. تفضل يا شيخ.
ومما يتعالج فيه من السحر ويستشفى قراءة القرآن. القرآن كله شفاء، لأن الله جل وعلا يقول عن القرآن: قل هو للذين آمنوا هدى وشفاء، فيقول: وشفاء لما في الصدور. فالمسلم يكثر من قراءة القرآن إن كان هو يستطيع أن يقرأ بنفسه، يكثر من قراءة القرآن، يمسك المصحف ويقرأ، أو يقرأ عليه أخوه المسلم فالقرآن كله شفاء من أوله إلى آخره. لو أنه أيضا كرر آية الكرسي، كرر المعوذات، يقرأ ما شاء من القرآن، فإنه يحصل به الشفاء بإذن الله عز وجل. نعم.
Now, so another thing that the chef says from that which can be used to medicate a person that has been afflicted by sorcery is a recitation of the Quran in general. And then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he says, say to those who believe, قل للذين آمنوا. كيف الآية يا شيخ؟
قل هو للذين آمنوا.
قل هو للذين آمنوا هدى وشفاء. نعم. نعم. Allah says, say to those who believe that the, speaking about the Quran, that it is a place or it is something that which brings guidance and it is something which has shifa in it, has cure. So a person should read as much as he's able by himself of the Quran if he's able to do so. And if he is not able to do so, then he should have one of his companions or brothers read for him. Because all of the Quran is a cure. So the individual should try to read as much of it as possible. Before the Yashir.
Yes, أقول كما قلنا يكثر من قراءة القرآن، ولكن أنا أنبه فإن غالبا المسحور أو المصاب بالعين أو الذي فيه مس الشيطان لا يستطيع أن يقرأ القرآن أو يجد صعوبة عند قراءة القرآن ويجد صدا عن القراءة، ربما يشعر بالخوف، ربما يأتيه النوم، تأتيه أمور مثل هذه، عليه أن يجاهد نفسه على قراءة القرآن ويصبر نفسه حتى يتغلب على عدوه ويشفى بإذن الله عز وجل. تفضل.
نعم. So the sheikh then goes on to say that he wants to bring to your attention an issue, and that is that the majority of people who are afflicted by the evil eye or by sorcery, that they are not able to recite the Quran, or they find difficulty, or they feel like there's some hindrance, something hindering them from being able to recite the Quran. Or they might feel some type of a sense of fear whenever they try to bring themselves to recite the Quran, or maybe they'll fall asleep. He says that if this is the case, then it's upon a person to try to do a struggle or strive against themselves until they are victorious against themselves in this issue. So every time that this incident happens or they feel that they're not able to recite the Quran, that they should try to make that effort, try to force themselves into reciting the Quran. And by doing this, by the permission of Allah, they will get better.
ومن علاج السحر الحجامة، إذا كان الإنسان يجد الآلام في رأسه أو في ظهره أو في يده يحتجم، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الشفاء في ثلاث، في شرطة محجم ولحقة عسل وكية من نار، فأنا أنهى أمتي عن الكي، رواه البخاري في الصحيح. يحتجم في موضع الألم الذي يجده، وقد ذكر ابن القيم بعض الآثار التي تدل على أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما سحر على أنه احتجم في رأسه صلى الله عليه وسلم. تفضل.
نعم. Right. So the Sheikh then mentions that another treatment for the one who's afflicted by sorcery is to get the hijama. So if an individual, he finds that he has some pain in his head or something like that, then using the hijama or doing the hijama is one of the ways that a person can alleviate that illness. And there's a hadith to support this in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi, he said that cure can be found in three things. He mentioned from amongst them honey and hijama, and the third was al-kay, which is using hot steel prods. And then the Sheikh, he mentioned that Ibn Qayyim said that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi was afflicted with sorcery, that he did do the hijama and he had it done on his head. Tafadhal ya Sheikh.
ومن علاج السحر أيضا استخراج السحر وإبطاله. وهذا يكون بالتحري، يعني يتحرى الإنسان. أحيانا المسحور إذا جاء المكان الذي فيه السحر يجد أنه يتضايق، يكره البقاء في هذا البيت، أو يخاف من هذه الغرفة، أو يخاف من هذا المكان أو مكان العمل. الغالب أن هذه علامات تدل على أن السحر قريب أو في المكان، يبحث عنه، يفتش هنا وهناك لعله يجده ثم يبطله ويحله. نعم تفضل.
نعم. So another thing is that a person, they might feel that when they're in a certain location or area, some unease, or that they're bothered by something. And if this is the case, then a person should try to look around and try to determine what it is that is making them feel uneasy or feel a certain way, disturbed. And they should look around until they're able to find that thing which is causing that disturbance. And when they do so, this will be a great benefit to them. And يعني كيف يا شيخ بعد أن يبحث عن في الموضع أو مكان ماذا يحصل؟
أقول ماذا؟
بعد أن كان يشعر بالإزعاج في مكان معين يبحث حتى يجد
يبحث في المكان، ما دام أنه وجد ألما أو خوفا أو في هذا المكان، هذا دليل
أيوة.
أن السحر قريب منه في نفس المكان.
نعم.
يبحث عنه ويفتش هنا وهنا لأنه يجده فيبطله.
نعم. Yes, so the Sheikh says, so basically you look and see, you find that which is causing this unease, and so that you can then dispose of it. So follow your Sheikh.
ومن ما يعني يوصى به المسحور أن يلجأ إلى الله بالدعاء ويكثر الدعاء، يسأل الله أن يشفيه، يسأل الله أن يدله على مكان السحر، ويجتهد في الدعاء. فإنه كما في البخاري أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما سحر قام ليلة فدعا ودعا ودعا يعني أطال الدعاء وأكثر الدعاء فنام بعد ذلك فرأى رؤيا أتاه رجلان أحدهما جلس عند رأسه والآخر عند رجليه فقال ما بال الرجل يعني ما مشكلته قال مطبوب أي مسحور قال من طبه من سحره قال لبيد ابن الأعصم اليهودي فأدله وذكر بقية الحديث فدله على فأرسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى هذا المكان واستخرج منه السحر وأبطله فالإنسان إذا اجتهد بالدعاء يوفق يرى رؤيا يعرف مكان السحر والدعاء شأنه عظيم يلجأ إلى الله دائما وأبدا نعم تفضل.
Right. So another thing which will cause, which will help someone alleviate the affliction of sorcery or an X or a hex is making plenty of dua. And this is what is advised. And a person should make plenty of dua, making dua that Allah relieves him of what he's afflicted with, or that Allah shows him the place where he can find the thing which is used to cause him an affliction. And this is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did when he was made, or when he was, when sorcery was used upon him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua when this happened, to the point where when he had fell asleep, two men came to him, one at his head and the other at his feet, and began to talk, asking what is wrong with him. And he said that he has been afflicted by sorcery. And then they asked who did it, who afflicted him with sorcery, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the person said, Labib ibn Aslam. The Yahud, right, the Jew, he was the person who used sorcery upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he was directed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was directed after that to the place where he could find the tool that was used to afflict him with sorcery. And this is what a person should do.
وعموما أنا أوصي إخواني كل من به مرض سواء سحر أو العين أو حتى الوسوسة عليه أن يقبل على قراءة القرآن لكن أنبه على شيء مهمين الأمر الأول النية يقرأ بنية طلب الأجر والثواب من الله ونية طلب الشفاء أن الله يشفي بهذه القراءة والأمر الثاني الصبر والمصابرة ولو يقرأ لساعتين لثلاث ساعات لأربع ساعات ويصبر ويصابر وبإذن الله سيرى النتيجة العظيمة لأن السحر والعين الطب الحديث لا يفعل شيء معها لا يستطيع يفعل شيئا والإنسان لو دفع أموالا كثيرة يقول لو أدفع أموال كثيرة حتى أشفى لا لكن نريد أن تقرأ ولك من الله أجر لكن تصبر على القراءة وتكثر من القراءة وتكثر من ذكر الله عز وجل وتلجأ إلى الله بالدعاء وستجد إن شاء الله النتيجة العظيمة وأكتفي بهذا القدر أسأل الله أن يشكر سعيكم وأن يجزيكم خيرا على استماعكم وصبركم على طول وقت المحاضرة، وأسأل الله أن يشفي مرضى المسلمين وأن يجعلنا وإياكم من المستقيمين على دينه وممن يمن الله عليهم بالتوفيق والسداد لكل خير. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد.
نعم. The Sheikh then says that he advises everyone who has some type of sickness, whether it be due to sorcery or evil eye or just having the waswasa, that they should recite the Quran. But the Sheikh says, though, but I would like to bring your attention to two things. The first is that you should have the correct intention when reciting the Quran. Have the intention when you're reciting the Quran that you are reciting not only to get cured, but to also get the reward for reciting from the Book of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is that you should have patience and bring yourself to have patience. Even if you have to recite for hours, be patient upon that. And with the permission of Allah, you'll see the benefits of that patience and of that recitation. But how many people that wish that if they were to spend their wealth or would spend their wealth just so that they can become cured or just so that they can recite the Book of Allah. So he said that having or reciting the Book of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being numerous at that, making sure that you continue to do that a lot, that you will find a great outcome from that. And then the Sheikh says that he hopes that, or he asks Allah to reward all of you with good, and he also makes a dua that Allah, He heals the Muslims who are afflicted with any type of illness, and that they and he asks Allah that they so to keep them upon the straight path of upon the religion and guide them to that which is correct. And after that, he says praising Allah and giving the salat and the salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gives us farewell.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خيرا. شيخنا حفظكم الله. تسمحون لنا نعرض عليكم شيء من الأسئلة؟ طيب. جزاكم الله خيرا شيخ، بارك الله فيكم. هذا سائل يسأل عن الآية سورة البقرة. يعني يري تفسير الآية واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا يعلمون الناس السحر. يعني الآية، فأولا ما تفسير الآية؟ ثانيا يسأل هل الملكين بذابل حاروت وماروت هل هم الذين علموا الناس السحر أم كان عندهم علم آخر غير السحر؟ وإذا كان هذا علم هو غير السحر، ما هو ذلك العلم؟ The questioner asked about the tafsir and explanation of the ayah, which is in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 102, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two angels, Harut and Marut. Are they the one who taught sihr, magic, or they were given some knowledge other than knowledge of sihr?
أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم. نعم، بالنسبة لتفسير الآية أظن الأخ المترجم ترجم ذلك وذكره، لكن أنا أعيد ذلك ملخصا. يقول الله جل وعلا واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان. يخبر جل وعلا عن اليهود أنهم اتبعوا ما تتلوه الشياطين على ملك سليمان، وذلك أن سليمان فقد خاتمه وأخذته الشياطين ووضعت، يعني في روايات إسرائيلية كثيرة لكن خلاصتها أنه بعد أن مات سليمان الشياطين وضعت السحر تحت كرسي سليمان، فجاء شيطان إلى الناس وقال سليمان كان يملككم في السحر وهو في هذا المكان. فلما بحثوا وجدوا السحر، فظن الجهال أن سليمان ساحر وأنه يحكم الناس بهذا، وكانت اليهود تسب سليمان عليه السلام فتقع فيه، فبرأه الله في هذه الآية فقال واتبعوا أي اليهود ما تكل الشياطين على ملك سليمان، وما كبر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كبروا. سليمان ما كفر ولا فعل السحر ولا فعل هذه الأمور، ولكن هذا من فعل الشياطين. ثم ذكر سبب كفره أنهم كانوا يعلمون الناس السحر، أنهم كانوا يعلمون الناس السحر، وهذا دليل على تحريم السحر. هذا تفسير الآية. وما أنزل على الملكين، الملكان اختلف العلماء فيهما، هل هما ملكان أو هل هما من بني آدم، والصواب أنهما ملكان، وأن الله جل وعلا أنزلهما اختبارا وابتلاء للناس، ابتلاء واختبارا للناس، وأن الذي كان يعلمانه الناس هو السحر على الصحيح. ولهذا إذا جاءهم أحد يريد يتعلم السحر قالوا له إنما نحن فتنة، الله أنزلهم فتنة ابتلاء اختبار، فلا تكفر، لا تتعلم السحر فتكفر. هذا هو القول الراجح من أقوال أهل العلم، والله أعلم. تفضل. تفضل.
أي نعم الشيخ. لا. Are you there for translation, I think?
Okay, I got kicked out of the room and stuff. Hello?
Oh, yes. Are you back in the room?
I'm back, but my headphones isn't working, man.
No problem. No problem, Shah. We will translate this question later, inshallah. No problem, Shah.
Okay, sorry.
الآن الشيخ حمد لكم سؤال آخر. سنقوم بترجمة هذا السؤال الشيخ فيما بعد بإذن الله تعالى. والآن السؤال الآخر، السؤال الثاني، سائل يقول بعض غير المسلمين ذكروا شبهة عن سحر رسول الله، عن سحر رسول الله عليه السلام، يقولون كيف تتبعون نبيكم وقد كان مسحورا، وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى على لسان كفار قريش إن تتبعون إلا رجلا مسحورا، وكيف لم يستطيع الله حمايته من السحر وقد قال والله يعصمك من الناس. So the questioner asked that some non-Muslims they try to mention about the magic of Rasulullah, that he was under the spell. He said, how do you follow someone who was afflicted or who was under the spell of the magic, even though your Lord, your Allah, he said that the kuffar and the Quraysh of Mecca, they used to say that you don't follow, you are following someone who is under the spell of the magic. And how is it that your Allah was not able to protect him from magic, even though it says in your book that Wallahu ya'asimuka min al-nas, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to protect you from men. Afiduna barakallahu fikum.
نقول هذه شبهة شيطانية ولكن في الحقيقة حينما ننظر في النصوص والأدلة هي هذه الشبهة زائلة بإذن الله. فنقول أولا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سحر، لكن هذا السحر لم يؤثر عليه بجانب البلاغ والبيان عن الله، لأن الله جل وعلا يقول وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. وإنما أصابه السحر في بدنه دون أن يؤثر عليه في جانب البلاغ عن الله وفي جانب الشرع، وإنما هذا السحر الذي أصابه مثل الأمراض الأخرى التي كانت تعرض له مثل الحمى والزكام والصداع وهذه الأمراض، لكن في جانب البلاغ عن الله هو معصوم، بلغ البلاغ المبين، وهذا يدل عليه قوله جل وعلا وما ينطق عن الهوى. وأما قول قريش تتبعون إلا رجلا مسحورا، هذا كذبه الله في القرآن، كذبه الله في القرآن ورد عليه، وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل وما ينطق عن الهوى. فهذا شيء أبطله الله في كتابه، كيف يحتج به والله قد أبطله؟ أيضا والله يعصمك من الناس، المراد قتله، يعصمك الله ما يقتلك أحد، ولهذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتخذ حارسا يحرسه في الليل كما في البخاري قصص مع سعد بن أبي وقاص. فلما أنزل الله عليه هذه الآية والله يعصمك من الناس لم يتخذ حارسا، المراد يعصمك لا يقتلك أحد، وليس المراد أنك لا تسحر أو لا يؤذيك أحد بسب أو يصيبون وجهه يشجون وجهه يكسرون سنه، لا، المراد يعصمك من أن يقتلوك. هذا هو الذي يرد به على هذه الشبهة، وهي تحتاج الحقيقة إلى أكثر من هذا، وقد تكلم عليها العلماء وناقشوا هذه القضية قديما، لكن هذا خلاصة ما يقال، أن السحر مرض من الأمراض التي أصابته، لكن بجانب البلاغ والبيان عن الله فهو معصوم ولم يقع في بيانه خلل أبدا، والله أعلم.
نعم ترجم.
Yes,
Safi,
please go
ahead. Right. I was missing for some of that, but for the question, but I alhamdulillah, I was able to hear everything the Sheikh said. So inshallah. So the Sheikh says that when we look into, he said that this is a, first of all, he said that this is a shubha. That this is one of those issues that are unclear that people use to put doubt in people's heart. But he says that when we look into the text, that it is made clear, this issue is made clear. Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was afflicted by sorcery. But that affliction did not affect his ability to relay to the people that which Allah has commanded him to relay. Allah says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Allah says about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he does not speak of his own desires. In huwa illa wahyu yuha. In huwa illa wahyu yuha. It is only revelation that has been revealed to him. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was afflicted, or the sorcery only affected his body, similar to how a person will be affected with any type of illness, such as a cold or flu or the likes thereof. And so it was only something that the sorcery only affected his body, and it did not go beyond that or affected his mental state or his ability to relay the message of Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been protected by Allah from that. And the Sheikh then goes on to say that Allah has protected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from people. But what this means is not that he wouldn't get affected by magic or he couldn't be hexed, but what this means is that the people will not be able to get at him physically with their swords or whatever it is that they want to use. They will not be able to use these tools or themselves in order to hurt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it does not mean that he could not be hexed, or you cannot put a hex on him. And the school and the scholars have spoken about this in detail, and what we've mentioned here is just basically the khulasas, or the general sum of it. Tafadhol.
Now, Sheikh mentioned that it means that he will not be killed by them, but he may be attacked by them. For example, what happened in the battlefield, he lost some of his teeth, he was bleeding. So these things may happen, the natural course of, when you are in a battlefield or when you are being faced by those who want to hurt you. But he will not be killed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him. He will not be killed, and he will deliver the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Shaykh, and barakallahu feekum. هذا سائل يقول ما هو الفرق بين المس الشيطاني والسحر والعين؟ ما أراد كل واحد منهم وهل يختلف أراد كل منهم عن الآخر؟ The question asks, what is the difference between مس الشيطاني, that which is touched by شيطان, or and magic and evil eye? What is the difference between all these three different categories? And what are the different signs? أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
الفرق بينهما, الفرق بين هذه الأمور هي المس والسحر والعين. أما السحر فقد عرفناه, فهو عقائد, فهو عقد عزائم وعقد ورقى ينفذ فيها الساحر فيحصل السحر, يأخذ شيئا من أثار الإنسان, من شعره, من ملابسه, فيعقد معها عقدا ويتكلم بكلام كبر ثم يقع السحر. وأما العين فهو أن ينظر رجل حاسد, ينظر رجل حاسد إلى رجل آخر تعجبه شيء فيه فيتكلم بكلام يدل على الإعجاب, على إعجابه بهذا, ولا يذكر الله عز وجل, فتصيب العين بإذن الله. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لو كان شيء سابق القدر لسبقته العين, وقال العين حق. وأما المس, المس هو الشيطان الذي يتلبس, الجني الذي يتلبس بالإنس. والسحر الغالب أنه يكون معه المس, يكون معه شيطان, إلا السحر المشروب الذي يكون في البطن. لكن السحر الذي يكون في العقد, الساحر يسلط شيطانا ويتلبس بالإنسان. وكذلك العين أحيانا يكون معها, يدخل معها الشيطان, كما جاء في حديث في مسلم الإمام أحمد, العين حق ويحضرها الشيطان, يحضرها يعني يصيب إنسان, يعين إنسان إنسانا ويكون هناك شيطان موجود, لأن الشياطين مع الناس حولهم, أنه يراكم هو قبيله من حيث لا ترونه, فإذا أقربه بالعين دخل الشيطان معها فتلبس بالإنسان. والأعراض مختلفة, لكن يا أخي الخلاصة لا يهمك ما هي الأعراض، هل هي عين، هل هو سحر، هل هو مس، علاجها شيء واحد وهو قراءة القرآن بنية الأجر وبنية الاستشفاء. العلاج شيء واحد لجميعها لأن القرآن شفاء. فالإنسان إذا واصل قراءة القرآن وجاهد بذلك فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى يشفيه من السحر، يشفيه من العين، يطرد الشياطين. القرآن يطرد الشيطان من البدن فيخرج. المهم هو أن يقرأ القرآن ويقبل عليه وسيجد إن شاء الله الشفاء. ولعلنا نكتفي بهذا السؤال، ثلاث أسئلة لأن الوقت عندنا متأخر تقريبا الساعة 11:30. شكر الله لكم وجزاكم الله خيرا وأستودعكم الله الذي لا تضيع ودائعه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
مع السلامة. أستودعكم الله. السلام
عليكم.
Right, so the sheikh, you guys know the question. The sheikh says, as far as being touched or being hexed or having some magic put on a person or being affected by the evil eye, he says that these things, as far as mess, he says that the mess or being touched, this thing entails both magic and the ain, that it could fall underneath that category. As far as magic, you said that we've already given its description and its definition when we said that it is using tools, specific tools and utterance that are used to affect a person's heart or body. And then the sheikh says, as for ain, as for the evil eye, then it is that a person, he looks at another individual with envy. And then he would say something, a statement, which shows his amazement or being impressed with what that individual has without mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, as for sorcery, they said that, and for the most part, this is usually accompanied with being touched by the shaitan. And the ayn, the evil eye, sometimes can be the same. That the shaitan can enter through being afflicted with the ayn, with the evil eye. And the proof of that is the hadith in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-ayn haqqun, that the ayn or the evil eye is real, and that the shaitan can enter through that, or that is a way for the shaitan to afflict a person. He says, as for how these things are treated, he said that the treatment for these things and the cure is the same. And that is that the person should recite the Quran, because in the Quran, it is a cure. So the person should read it. So that's basically what the sheikh says. He said that, you know, so it's important that a person reads the Quran, and we'll just stop right there. And then the sheikh, he gave his farewell and made dua for the listeners for good.
Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khairan akhir harif. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for this wonderful translation. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place his heavily on the scale of your good deeds as well. And jazakumullah khairan. And barakallahu feekum. And my dear brothers and sisters, insha'Allah ta'ala, as you know, our program will continue, insha'Allah ta'ala, as Masjid Ahlul Quran wa Sunnah, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. We will continue our program, insha'Allah ta'ala. As for lectures with the scholars, insha'Allah ta'ala, on January 7th, I guess, the first week of first Saturday of January 2017, insha'Allah ta'ala, we will be starting regular weekly lectures bi'ithnillahi ta'ala with the scholars. And insha'Allah ta'ala, I'm pleased to inform you that insha'Allah ta'ala, Saturday, January 7th, we will have one of the top scholars, one of the greatest scholars of our time, Sheikh Saleh Muhammad Al-Luhaydan, حفظه الله تعالى ورعاه. He will be doing the lecture بإذن الله تعالى. He is a member of Council of Senior Scholars, as well as he was the Chief Justice of Higher Judiciary Council of Saudi Arabia. You know, he is actually one of the founding members of the Council of Senior Scholars. So this is a tremendous opportunity. And alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us a tawfiq to organize these programs and these classes and these events, especially the links and the events with the scholars and the mashayikh. So let us all come together to benefit from our ulama. Let us all come together to benefit from the inheritance of the prophets and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala al-basira. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon al-basira, upon sure knowledge, upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in his book and in the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah, we hope to see you again inshallah. Please spread the word. Let your community know. Let your friends and family members know. And do your best to reach out to your local masajid in your communities and encourage the administration with hikmah, with wisdom. Encourage them to broadcast these lectures of the scholars and the mashayikh locally in your masajid. Reach out to your local masajid and request them that, if they can broadcast these lectures, it doesn't cost anything. All they have to do, all they need, is a telephone line hooked up with their speaker system, and just dial the number. Alhamdulillah, we don't charge anything for our services. Everything is free. All you have to do is just dial the number and benefit from the ulama and the mashayikh. And we also encourage you all, if you have any questions for the scholars and the mashayikh, please post it at our website, albasira.org. If you go on the main page of albasira.org, you will see a link there where you can go and post your questions. Once again, alhamdulillah, we are starting this thing after a long, long break, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inshallah is coming back and redoing these study links with the scholars inshallah on a regular basis. We have been doing lectures of the mashayikh, very so often, but this is going to be on a regular basis, bismillah ta'ala. We are also working on projects to have actually intensive courses with the scholars. With the translation and without the translation. Those of you who are not in need of translation, those of you, mashallah, who are good at Arabic, this is your opportunity to learn knowledge, to seek knowledge, and benefit directly from the scholars and mashayikh. We will be doing intensive courses with the ulama where you can learn directly from some of the top scholars of our time. Jazakumullah khairan. And with this, we end our today's session. Hoping to see you again soon, inshallah, and leaving you all in the protection of Allah. Astaghfirullah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.